the tracks, cause these are the facts. Now we are, have been, and will still be getting taxed.
Welcome to the Voices from the Frontline segment of the 4 o'clock Public Affairs Hour on KPFK 90.7 FM in Los Angeles, 98.7 FM in Santa Barbara. This is Tammy Bang Liu, and I'm here with my co-host, Damon Azali. We're going to open up the hour with the issue of Puerto Rican political prisoners, specifically looking at the case of Antonio Camacho Negron, who is currently being threatened with reincarceration after his release last Tuesday, having spent 15 years in prison. We'll also look at the efforts on part of parents, teachers, and students at 99th Street Elementary School to defend the right to organize at the school and address the intimidation tactics on the part of the school district. We'll have Jim Lafferty from the National Lawyers Guild on state and police repression on organizers and activists as we approach the Republican National Convention and what folks should expect in New York. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
So I'm supposed to call on the attack. Attack, attack, attack. Boricua, attack. Don't be hesitant to represent. Yeah, you want to act hard. You want to talk about being God. So what about a little civil unrest against his government in defense of your people?
Welcome back to the Voices from the Frontline segment of the 4 o'clock Public Affairs Hour. Throughout the 1980s, U.S. federal agents made a series of arrests, 15 or so inside the U.S. in Chicago and another 15 in Puerto Rico, of members in the national liberation movements of the Puerto Rican. This was marked a major offensive in terms of arresting those who were part of the movement. At the time of the arrest, the Independentistas declared themselves to be combatants in the anti-colonial war to liberate Puerto Rico from U.S. domination and invoked prisoner of war status. The jail terms inflicted on the political prisoners ranged from 40 to 105 years. As a result of mass grassroots pressure in 1999, the Clinton administration offered conditional release to 11 of the 15 political prisoners that were incarcerated from Chicago. Today we're going to discuss the case of Antonio Camacho Negron, who was released last Tuesday after serving 15 years and is in threat of reincarceration, as well as the state of the Puerto Rican political prisoners movement. We're being joined by Benjamin Ramos from Pro Libertad. Welcome, Benjamin.
Welcome. Thank you, Tammy, very much for having me on.
No problem. So, Ben, why don't you just start with giving people a sense. In the 80s, there were a lot of activities in Chicago in terms of the Puerto Rican Cultural Center and organizations like the Armed Forces of National Liberation, or FALN, and Macheteros were being attacked. Can you give us a sense of who these folks were in terms of what they were trying to do in the community and why the actual pressure?
Well, first off, we need to look at the fact that the FALN, the Fuerzas Armadas de la Liberación Nacional, which is the Armed Forces of National Liberation, as well as the Macheteros, are two revolutionary underground armed resistance organizations. The FALN was primarily based in the United States, with membership all over the United States, made up of individuals from different Puerto Rican communities. Los Macheteros was an organization, again, revolutionary, underground, armed, which was based on the island. Now, both organizations actually come from and were inspired by a lot of the Latino guerrilla movements that were taking place in the 1970s in Latin America and parts of the Caribbean. And both organizations sort of made their presence known to the United States public as well as the international community in the mid to late 70s and carried out a series of activities. Again, these are organizations that are armed. They believe that armed resistance is one of the most valid ways that folks can fight for Puerto Rican independence. They both organizations, though were individual organizations, no one should ever group them together. They were two specific organizations. Used international law, specifically Resolution 1514 of the United Nations Decolonization Charter, which states that armed resistance is considered a valid form of fighting colonial domination. And that's where we get into the political rationale and sentiment as to why these organizations existed. Puerto Rico is a colony of the United States. It's been a colony of the United States since 1898. This is an internationally recognized fact. Unfortunately, it's not a fact that is prevalent in the Puerto Rican community, and it's not something that the United States recognizes either, even though for several decades now at the UN there have been several hearings and decolonization committees and different organizations that have constantly talking about the Puerto Rican right to self-determination and independence, as well as the fact that the United States has brought up several times for charges around human rights violations and international human rights violations in Puerto Rico. But getting back to both organizations, they were engaged in armed struggle with the United States. Both organizations took their fight to the military installations in Puerto Rican communities, both on the island and in the mainland United States. They were responsible for several bombings, and the FALN was responsible for several bombings in the United States, where the Macheteros were involved in several different types of activities where they were able to basically bring to light human rights violations produced by several large American corporations, as well as fighting with the people of, alongside with the people of Vieques, to point out the reality of U.S. militarization in Puerto Rico and the human rights violations that occur with that. So both organizations, again, recognized by the international community as two very valid organizations, were fighting for the independence and freedom of Puerto Rico. Puerto Rico went from being 400 years of a colony of Spain to then being a war booty for the United States after the Spanish-American War. The people of Puerto Rico have never had the opportunity to have independence and self-determination. When the United States invaded Puerto Rico on July 25, 1898, they established a military, economic, and cultural colonization that to this day still exists and has been resisted. There's a great book written by this professor, Jose Paratilichi, called 100 Years of Resistance and Incarceration, which actually looked at the year 1898 to the very present, talking about all the different political prisoners, both on the island and the United States, that have been incarcerated simply for fighting for the independence of Puerto Rico.
So tell us about, let's start with the 15 who were incarcerated via their efforts in Chicago. Tell us a little bit about them in terms of who they were and how, what they were involved in, their roles as community organizers, educators.
We have to look at the fact that several of the individuals that were arrested in the early 1980s for being members of the FALN, they were prominent community activists. They were religious leaders. They were teachers. They were laborers. They were workers. They were parents. They were grandparents. They were basically community organizers that, alongside with doing their social justice work, were highly politically involved individuals that recognized the colonial realities of Puerto Rico. And when we look at the colonial reality of Puerto Rico, we can separate that from the working class, people of color reality that Puerto Ricans face when they come into the United States. And these individuals felt that reality, that colonial reality, and that capitalist poverty, abject poverty infested reality in the United States was intolerable, and that they needed to take the fight for liberation and freedom to the United States. Again, these were individuals that were very prominent in their community. They were leaders, they were intellectuals, they were activists, they were organizers, from all different aspects of civil society. And they basically just came together and decided that it was time to really dramatize the work around Puerto Rico, and formed this became a part of this organization, and engaged in this type of struggle. And when in the 1980s some of them were arrested, they took it upon themselves not to have legal representation in their trial. They chose prisoner of war status because they felt that in the United States, no revolutionary fighting for freedom, you know, anti-imperialism, anti-colonialism, would ever receive a fair trial in the United States. They called for an international tribunal, which was actually a part of their international human rights. Again, looking at Resolution 1514 and looking at several other resolutions in the United Nations that deal with political prisoners and prisoner of war status, they had every right to call for an international tribunal, but that, of course, was not granted to them. The United States does not recognize itself as a human rights violator and does not recognize Puerto Rico as a colony. In fact, to this day, with over 150-some-odd political prisoners and prisoners of war in the United States still does not recognize their status as political activists that were jailed for their beliefs. So these individuals went down, and the movement that had existed in the 60s and the 70s to free the four nationalists that were freed in 1979 evolved then into a movement to free these brothers and sisters that were members of the FALN, which were not just basically based in Chicago, even though the majority of them were. There were several members as well that were from New York City.
So tell us a little bit about, before we go into Camacho, there's two still political prisoners from the original 15 that are still incarcerated. Who are they, and what are their term sentences? And earlier I had stated that these terms range from 40 years to 105 years, and often I've heard stated seven times what if in the same year prisoners that were guilty of violent acts got.
Actually, it's three Puerto Rican political prisoners that are left, Carlos Alberto Torres, Oscar Lopez Rivera, and Aide Beltran. They were part of the 15 that were arrested in the early 1980s for being members of the FALN. Oscar has a sentence, which I believe is a 55-year-old sentence. Carlos Alberto has 78 years, and Aide Beltran actually has a life sentence. Just to let folks know, of course, these sentences were punitive and excessive. I mean, when it comes right down to it, they were not charged with any violent acts. They were charged with minor things like possession of illegal weaponry and having fake IDs and several other minor charges. But actually, the math is that they were given 17 times longer the average sentence of that year. So people who committed grand theft auto, rapists and murderers and, all, you know, folks that do some serious, serious social crimes went into jail at the same time and got out many years before. I mean, these individuals, again, had no prior criminal records. What they were charged with was very minor. In fact, they were charged with something called seditious conspiracy, which is this bullshit umbrella term which encompasses anything that revolves around basically stating anti-U.S. propaganda. Anyone that says anything contrary to the United States government, anyone that criticizes the United States government can be considered a seditious conspirator and can be arrested. This is something that's only been a charge that's only been used on Puerto Ricans, and I think it was a charge that originated sometime in like the American Revolutionary War. So it's very blatant that these individuals, as anti-capitalists, as anti-imperialists, as anti-colonialists, were given these insane, excessive, you know, human rights violating sentences because of the fact that they were political individuals.
Joining us today is Ben Ramos from Pro Libertad to talk about the state of the Puerto Rican political prisoners movement. Let's move on to Camacho Negron. So he just got released this last Tuesday.
Yes.
After serving 15 years, and now there's an attempt to reincarcerate him. Let's talk a little bit about the terms of his parole, and what it is that Camacho is being threatened with.
See, this is a very strange situation. It's strange because there's actually no legal rationale or explanation as to what has been occurring to Antonio. First of all, he was supposed to be released on Friday, August 13th, and he was not. He was not released because the jail failed to organize a hearing to deal with the fine that he was sentenced with back in the late 1980s, a fine of several thousand dollars, which he has constantly made clear that he's indigent, does not have the money to pay for this fine. They did not organize the hearing in time for his release. So from Friday the 13th, he had to wait until Tuesday morning. Between that period of time, when the hearing was scheduled on Monday, he was in solitary confinement, was denied visitation rights and telephone rights. He finally had the hearing on Monday and was released on Tuesday. He was released Tuesday morning, was not given an ID. Anyone that does any prison justice work knows that prisoners do not have identification while they're inside jails. And when they're released, if they're expected to travel or to work or to go, you know, basically anywhere, they need to be given a temporary ID before they can establish residency somewhere. He was not given that ID. Therefore, he could not make it to Puerto Rico on the Thursday night that he wanted to leave. The other situation, which you've been talking about, is that he was told that he had to report within 72 hours to the federal penitentiary in Puerto Rico to begin a sentence of, to finish off his sentence of 270 days. Now, this absolutely, with no reason, and what makes this strange and what makes this also very evident with everything that's happening in the United States and here in New York City, is that he was supposed to max out on Friday the 13th. He finished the majority of his sentence. In fact, some of the lawyers say that he spent more time in jail than he was supposed to. Now, all of a sudden, they tell him, you need to report to a federal penitentiary and complete 270 days. Now, the lawyers that are involved, Linda Bacchiel and Jan Susser, two very progressive lawyers in Puerto Rico, have been making inquiries as to why, making it clear why is he being incarcerated when he's spent more time in jail than he should be. Now, they've given no reason to the lawyers, no reason to Antonio. We feel that this is just the same constant repression that they have always done with Puerto Rican activists, the same type of manipulation and exploitation of these individuals. We have to look at the fact that here in New York City, we were actually organizing a reception for him the Sunday after he got out. Right now in New York City, this is almost, we're just one step away from fascism. We have military, we have police all over the place getting ready for the Republican National Convention. I'm sure the fact that he was coming to New York and it being very public activity did not help his situation, as well as he being a former a machetero, which, of course, is an organization that the FBI still has several members. You know, the FBI has posted several wanted signs for members of the macheteros. So, you know, all of this situation has occurred. This is actually, you know, very, very common with the type of repression and oppression that a lot of Puerto Rican activists, especially the ones that were political prisoners, face. There is absolutely no reason why he should be targeted for these 270 days, but they're trying to force him. Now, Antonio Camacho Negron has always been a very principled and very political individual and has stated publicly that he will not do that prison time voluntarily. He will not go to any prison to give himself over. And his rationale for that is that he does not recognize U.S. federal court system. He does not recognize U.S. colonialism's authority over him or over Puerto Rico. So he was supposed to, this morning, go to the federal penitentiary to begin that sentence, and he did not report in.
So you'll keep us abreast on what we should expect, and I expect that Pro Libertad is going to be gearing up to continue to call for at least the release of this 270 days, I mean, to squelch it.
Absolutely. I mean, we're in a state of emergency. We don't know what will happen in the next couple of days. Antonio being so public, and he really is a public individual. He's had several press conferences and spoken to different media sources throughout Puerto Rico. You know, his schedule is a little rampant. He's running around the island, but he's made it very clear that he's not going to check in. And this puts us, the Puerto Rican community, but not just the Puerto Rican community, the progressive, social justice-oriented community in the United States and all over the world, on an emergency. We don't know what will happen in the next couple of days. He could be arrested. He could be disappeared. We do not know. So we're asking folks to be very aware of what's happening. And when we make a call for support, when we need people to call the jails or to write or to, you know, send information out to individuals, we need people to respond. The issue of the Puerto Rican political prisoners and Puerto Rican liberation is not specific to the Boricua community. It is a human rights issue. It's a social justice issue, and it belongs to all of us. When we talk about, you know, the U.S. invading and occupying Palestine and Iraq, we have to remember that all of that was practiced in Puerto Rico more than a century ago, and that we have to express solidarity on all levels. So, you know, we really want folks to check out our website, which is www.prolibertadweb.com. We keep it very up to date. We, you know, when the situation happens that he's rearrested or disappeared or whatever happens with Antonio, we need the entire community out there supporting supporting him and demanding his release.
And what is the community? I mean, what is the public sentiment like in Puerto Rico? I know in 1999 it was a mass question of the release and the request for clemency from the Clinton administration. What has the issue stayed as strong, or has it died down? And how have you guys tried to maintain that awareness both inside the U.S. and outside the U.S.?
Well, the answer to that question is yes and no. When 1999 occurred and 11 of the political prisoners were given instant clemency and were released, they were met with incredible open arms. I mean, 9 out of the 11 went to Puerto Rico. 2 Alejandrina Torres and Alberto Rodriguez went to Chicago. The rest of them went to Puerto Rico. And in both Chicago and in Puerto Rico, the reception from the Puerto Rican community was in the thousands. I mean, folks were all over the situation, supporting and showing love and solidarity. And, you know, when a major victory like that happens, sometimes, unfortunately, we get a little myopic and we say, okay, 11 got out and there may be four or five in, but, you know, we have to keep celebrating and we got a majority of them out. And some folks tend to forget that there were still six individuals incarcerated. So Pro Libertad began a campaign called the Faltan Seis, which means there's still six left. Mm-hmm. And it was an educational, fundraising, political organizing campaign. And, you know, we maintain the issue strong in the Puerto Rican community throughout and other communities in New York City and in the tri-state area and in Puerto Rico by putting out information, by having public educationals, by joining in solidarity with other liberation struggles and working closely with the other cases and issues of political prisoners. You know, Pro Libertad has been instrumental in generating support for the Move 9, Mumia Abu-Jamal, Leonard Peltier, the Cuban political prisoners. You know, we go out there and we show a powerful political face. We believe in solidarity and support, and we go out there and we educate any and all communities. Puerto Rico is not a Puerto Rican issue. It's an international issue. Anyone who's fighting for social justice and liberation should learn as much as they can about Puerto Rico and support whatever efforts are happening. And we go out there. We organize. We mobilize. You know, we're right now, Pro Libertad is instrumental in the formation of a people of color anti-imperialist contingent that's going to be at the RNC this Sunday coming up. We're calling for you know, the freedom of all political prisoners, the end to all occupation, the end to repression on workers. We're calling for amnesty for immigrants' rights. We basically have taken the tactic in the 10 years that we've been organizing that we need to show as much solidarity as possible if we want to receive it. And we go out there and we link Puerto Rico, the political prisoners, Vieques, to any issue that we can.
Thank you so much. Benjamin Ramos from Pro Libertad. And again, for folks who want more information, it's www.prolibertad.com. And they can also be reached at prolibertad@hotmail.com. Thanks so much. And we'll be right back with the challenges of school site organizing.